The Production Expert Podcast is brought to you with the kind support of Arturia, Avid, Source Elements, and RSBE Audio Solutions.
Welcome to the Production Expert Podcast. I'm Ashaya, and in this week's edition, I'm joined by Russ Hughes and Lexi Morgan from HHB in London, and previously iZotope. Welcome, Lexi. It's lovely to have you join us.
Well, thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Yeah, so we are going to be discussing the recent UK government report about women in the music industry. But why don't we start by telling our listeners a bit about ourselves, our professional backgrounds, and which part of the audio and music industry we work in. So let's start with you, Lexi.
Sure. So I've been working in what I consider pro audio technology for about 10 years now. As you mentioned, I started with iZotope, which was a great introduction to this industry, both in terms of it being a super fun, super cutting-edge kind of company to be with, but also in that I don't have a very specific music background. I really came to them as being like a marketer. That's what I do. And, you know, showing them and teaching them about using my marketing skills, but through them, I got to learn a lot about the industry, a lot around mixing and just like the technology and tools needed for it. And since then, since leaving iZotope, I moved over to London to work at HHB Communications. And here it's been really fun. We work across post-production, music production, and broadcast. So it's a really great sight lines into like many aspects of the audio industry.
Fantastic. That's, really interesting. So Russ, what about you? I'm sure most people know who you are anyway, but go ahead.
I thought for the context of this discussion today, I'd say a little bit about my background in terms of my upbringing and the people around me, because I think that might have a bearing on how I come to this.
Yeah.
So I'm the youngest of four children. I have three elder sisters. I have four daughters. So I've spent my life, and my wife is one of three girls. So I've kind of spent my life around females. Mm. That's been my experience. So, and I don't know if that has a bearing on whether people come to this discussion differently and whether some of this is driven by just men's male's inability to just even appreciate the female world. And so, but I lived in that world. I argued with my sisters. They beat me up and stuff like that. They all gave as good as they got. So my entire world was female for when I was growing up. I had no brothers. And as I say, I've got four daughters as well. So I come to this because three of my daughters are working age. They're, one of them is your age, I think, Ashaya. Mm, so I've got I've got a daughter who's a 28 to 26 and a 24-year-old daughter, or somewhere around that. I'm their dad. I don't quite get their ages right all the time, so forgive me. And I wouldn't want to send my daughters into half the studios in the world. But I'd want them to. So my nine-year-old, who's my youngest daughter, has picked up the piano, and I said to Anna, "This is really exciting for me. It's like my dream. My work is done." And I thought she'd be in a band as a keyboard player, but then I thought, will she? Can she be? And because, as you say, and I think I'm on this podcast because whilst this is a discussion about females in the industry, it's pretty much a male stronghold. Mm. So the change has to come as much from the men as it does, more from the men than it does from the women.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. But I think it's good that you've been surrounded by women growing up. But I think it has a lot to do with your empathy as well, Russ, not just the fact that you've been surrounded by women, because a lot of men do have daughters and sisters and wives and girlfriends, but they still don't necessarily understand the perspective of a lot of women. And this is obviously not all men. And I find that it's quite difficult because there are some, there's a lot of pushback when you do speak about feminist issues or even sharing an article. I shared the Production Expert article the other day. I just simply shared it with nothing else. And I got a couple of men in the comments section sort of just saying, oh, well, if women were, are actually good at their jobs, then there wouldn't be a problem. So, I'm hoping that people will come into this and listen to this podcast with, open ears and an open mind and kind of just listen to what we have to say. logically and not feel offended by some of these things. But
Could I quickly ground this report in a real thing that happened the other day, just to give any men listening to this today who say, oh, women are just victims and they need to just up their game and all that kind of bullshit that you hear. The day after that report came out, and I kid you not, I think, Ashir, you saw it, I had an advert appear on my Facebook feed for a group. It was for synths, keyboards and pianos. The picture behind it was a woman in a bikini.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
To which I posted, what does this have to do with a keyboard, synths and group? I said, what's this got to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
To which the guy replied to me, who runs the group, what's the problem? Are you gay or something?
So reductive, isn't it?
I actually screenshotted that because I thought, if he takes it down, I want to keep this. Because that's the kind of crap that some women have to deal with. A lot of women have to deal with.
Yeah. Lexi, I'm sure you've had in your sort of line of work experiences like that, and we'll definitely get into them. But I'm sure you can sort of understand the report and it reflects a lot of your experiences. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I think what's so frustrating about things like this report is, you know, even just being in it for only a decade, seeing how, you know, with how much I know is done from like third parties, nonprofits to try and alleviate these issues. My first AES conference, I met with WAM, Women's Audio Mission, who are really great. And I remember one of the first things that was ever said to me, which I think is important for this whole conversation, is, you know, Terry Winston said to me, they'll say that 5% of the industry is women, but in fact, it's only 3%. So, like, I think when you think about the totalities and you think about the numbers of it, 3% is so small. And then you have 16% or 19% or 23%, you know, facing sexual harassment or being assaulted or all of these other things. Like even in a numbers game, it's astounding and horrific.
It's horrific. I completely agree. And there's an actual survey revealed from the Musicians Union here in the UK that 48% of musicians have been sexually harassed at work. And 85% of those didn't report it, 58% have witnessed it, and 61% believe freelancers are at a higher risk of being sexually harassed while working. So obviously that's something that I want to get into. And, you know, a lot of these things are to do with late nights. There's a lot of late nights, drugs, alcohol use, studios as well, without any vetting. You know, studio owners, they don't do DBS checks on staff. I've seen in my experience, young, vulnerable people, whether it's young girls or boys, being in dark studios with men or women on their own without chaperones, you know, just putting them in really, really dangerous positions. And I just don't think in this day and age we should be allowing it. And we don't allow it in other lines of work, you know. So why does this keep happening in the music industry?
Yeah, you're right. I was in a film shoot at a studio in London. My daughter is a hairstylist. She's, I could name drop a bit. I'm really proud of her. She's done hair for people like OT. On Strictly, so she's done her hair for the show and stuff like that. She does lots of fashion shoots. And she came to a film shoot with me for a product video. And there was her there and two other women. There was a woman in the video, and there was a woman doing makeup. So we had makeup hair in there. And in the bathroom, there was a tampon machine and a place to get rid of your tampons if you had used tampons.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of the women said, this is rare. And I would come to the studio just for this. And one of them then told me the story that one of them had to go out the back of a studio and like pee behind the studio, just like a man would. Not even a man shouldn't have to do that, but a woman doing that in the middle of a studio session. And part of the reason I'm on this today, as I say, is because I think that because men have a lot of the control here. It's us that need to do some of the changes and some of the rethinking. Because you can't just keep saying there's a problem and us being tone deaf to it and not then making adjustments to help deal with it and make it better.
Yeah, and it's also the good men to sort of be so black and white about it. You know, men that don't intend to harass women and wouldn't even dream of doing that, they do kind of fall into this trap of, oh, so-and-so is a really nice guy. Are you sure you're not sort of over-exaggerating? I'm sure that wouldn't happen. You're taking it a little bit too seriously, things like that. So sort of siding with other men against claims from women. And, you know, this report shows that so many women have faced these same experiences. So we can't all be sort of collectively imagining this. And so I just think it would be really helpful for men to help women by listening and you know, providing a listening ear and not sort of judging us when we go to them for help. I don't know sort of if you've had this experience, Lexi, in terms of, and if you have an HR department or someone you can go to in your workplace.
Yeah, I think that I've been lucky to always have an HR available. But what I would say, like the experience I've had and I've heard is, even when you have an HR representative, a lot of the times, and especially in like male-dominated workforces, their ability to correctly handle something like assault or harassment is not great. You know, a lot of the times they're not like, this isn't something they expect to do. They're focused on payroll or they're focused on insurance. And it's not really something that comes up a lot. And especially if you think of studios, some of them will have only hired maybe their first, you know, woman mixer recently, or like have someone on the staff who's a woman is fairly new. And the thought would be that, oh, there's only one, maybe there's only three. You know, what's the likelihood of it happening? But it does happen. And I think what I see a lot of the times is once it happens, the burden is so fully placed on the victim. And that, yeah, you know, on top of being victimized, you then have to, you know, stand up for yourself and, you know, keep at it while you're trying to mentally deal with something that's like, with something traumatic that's happened to you. Mm. So even in the best situation, I think a lot of places are really ill-prepared to deal with this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ever wondered what it's like to mix an entire album for Kanye or layering vocals for Chris Brown? Join your hosts, Cash and G, every fortnight as we sit down with some of your favorite artists, producers, and engineers to talk everything music, brought to you by Avid Pro Tools.
That sounds great.
So knowing that then, Russ, I put to you, what do you suggest that men do, that, you know, studio owners and any of these people, what can men do to help this situation?
Yeah, before we go there, I'd just like to add another statistic. And I'm married to a very smart woman who is trained, who has a degree in law. And for her law degree, she looked at how the justice system deals with women who have experienced sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are just staggering.
Yeah.
So the numbers are over half of women have experienced sexual violence involving physical contact, and about 1 in 26 have experienced an attempted rape or a completed rape.
Goodness.
When you then look at the justice system, about 0.0001 will get to trial because of the way it's stacked against them. And one of the things is the victim blaming thing.
Yeah,
which is Lexi just mentioned a moment ago. The onus is often on the person who's had the crime perpetrated against them. In this case, of sexual assault or any kind of inappropriate sexual behaviour against them, to prove it, rather than for the person who's caused it. I read the story. I was reminded yesterday of the Taylor Swift story about the DJ who put his hand up her skirt during a photo shoot. Do you remember that?
Yes, about five or six years ago. Yeah.
And I saw a story in the paper afterwards saying, this guy has had his life ruined because she's claimed this. She won, of course, if you know the story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, give me a break. And I read, so coming back to how can we help?
Sorry, Russ, could I just interject on that point as well? Because it's bad enough for women in every area of life, as we're seeing with, you know, your wife who's a lawyer and all of those things. But in the music industry, it seems to be so much worse, especially in sort of, you know, gigs and studio culture, because we do have this culture of silence that they mentioned mention in the report. Yeah. And people are afraid of their careers because the music industry is such a small place, such a small industry to be in. And it sort of reinforces this fear, you know, that women have of speaking out, and even other men as well. They're scared for their own careers. And so I feel like there needs to be a greater deterrent and consequences to sort of sexual harassment in the workplace, because I have friends who are, you know, college tutors, and they say, you know, this would never happen, or it would be so much more rare to happen because people are terrified to lose their jobs and never work again. But in the industry, people feel they're able to do this and they'll get away with it. And that's a big concern. So we don't have enough deterrence, I think, in this industry.
Yeah. And by the way, the guy that did assault Taylor Swift has now got another job as a DJ. So whilst lost his original job, he's still getting work. And some people say, well, he should be given a second chance. Well, sorry, no. If you did it in the banking sector, you'd probably never work again. It comes back to Lexi's point that, in a sense, part of this, we're getting to the other end of this, because there's just general misogyny at one end, and at the other end is sexual assault. But just talking about some of the stuff, the music industry just isn't grown up to this kind of stuff that most of the other industries are when it comes to HR. It's just like you talked about earlier about chaperoning and provision for women in the workplace for things like sanitation and all those kind of things. The music industry seems to sort of continue to kind of busk its way through this. And then there's no checks and balances. Half the people working in studios don't have any kind of contract, so have no protection under the law either.
Yeah.
So there's all those kind of things that we need to do to help when it comes to it. So the industry has to grow up.
Yes,
has to deal
absolutely.
With it in terms of I don't just mean mentally. I mean, it needs to structure the businesses that they have in an appropriate way that is for the 21st century. Yeah. And it isn't at the moment. So that's the one thing I would say is the way to deal with some of this stuff. But secondly, it's about positive work. So, Ashir, you're on the team. Mm-hmm. You have a very significant position on the experts team.
Yeah.
Mel is on the team. I think Lexi knows Mel too. She's a director of the company. She's a significant person in our company. And whilst I kind of understand, like, and listen, I'm going to be very careful when I say this, but I mean this with the greatest respect, because I know the people running it. Whilst it's okay to have a magazine that's full of women for a month, that's not really solving much, because the way we do it is that's what we're teaching my 9-year-old, that's what I'm teaching my girls, all of my girls. If you can see it, you can be it.
Yeah.
The trouble is, for most women in our industry, they can't see it. And the great thing about the Grammys last night, that's going to really set some men on fire, isn't it, that there were so many women winning last night and all that kind of stuff. But those are the kind of things that start to change it. When you can see it, you can do it. In fact, the only dick last night was Jay-Z. It was a man that was an idiot last night at the Grammys.
What did he do?
He just got up and said that Beyonce deserved better and that she hasn't got an award, and started
spouting. He's doing a Kanye, basically.
Yeah, just inappropriately speaking down a mic when he should have just shut up and been gracious. And yet we just saw classy women after woman with Tracy Chapman and Joni Mitchell and Taylor Swift and all those great role models. But we need to see them all through the industry. We need to see them in producer jobs.
Yes.
We need to see them in companies like Lexi works in, like you work in. And so I think that, but you're here not because you're a woman. You're here that you do a great job and you happen to be a woman. That's how we have to think about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure Lexi will agree that we don't want to be treated sort of better because we're women. That's awful. It's really reductionist and it's horrible. We just want to be sort of treated equally and respected. And Lexi, maybe you can explain how it was getting into your career. Did you face sort of obstacles? Did you face, sort of double standards and biases? Because that's another thing that is mentioned a lot in the report.
Yeah, I would say for what I've been lucky enough to find is that being a marketer is that in marketing, there are a fair amount of women in that role.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown my role as a woman in this industry, it has been, there are definitely a lot of like different struggles that you face out there, and more that I would want to raise up the voices of like the women that I work with and work around. So getting to regularly talk to, you know, mixers, producers, engineers, and hearing what they have to say, like less my own experience, because I think I'm pretty fortunate. There have definitely been big stumbling blocks. There's definitely been large issues with, you know, having your ideas stolen or been misrepresented. But ultimately, what I see more of is when I, you know, look at the landscape for the women out there doing like the technical, you know, mixing and things like that, what I see is, you know, for them, one thing I thought of before coming to here was like my advice for someone or for men in specific, to be specific, is to like assume in the best way possible. One thing I hear all the time is, you know, walking into a studio, and even if there's like a woman sitting in front of, you know, the console, they're going to assume that she's in marketing, or they're going to assume that maybe she's a runner, maybe she's there to like get them tea when she's in fact the person that's going to be doing it. The same is true for like front of house engineers. A woman can be holding 50 different like cables and they'll still not think that she's the one who's about to like run, you know, run the night. Yeah. So, you know, assume the woman in the room is there and that they have a technical role. I don't think any marketer out there would be, you know, it would never hurt my feelings if you assumed I was more technical, but the reverse is certainly true. And you know what? If there's a woman in the room and she hasn't offered you tea or coffee or water, don't ask her, ask a guy. Like, I think just like mentally putting yourself in that like position. So sorry to like lead away from your question a little bit.
No. I
definitely think that, you know, you face a lot of stuff. And I think the biggest thing I hear and see all the time is like imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Even when you're doing amazing things, getting Grammys, getting recognized from the Music Producers Guild, you still think of yourself as like, I'm not worthy, because, you know, a lot of things out there, whether it's like male colleagues, clients, or just like internet trolls are telling you, you're not good enough, or you're not worth it, or you're not technical.
Aturia has a wide selection of software effects, including 3 compressors, 3 filters, 3 preamps, and 3 delays you'll actually use. The latest release, 3 delays you'll actually use, includes Delay Tape 201, Delay Memory Brigade, and the unique and experimental Delay Eternity. A bundle of selected effects, called the AudioFuse Creative Suite, is included with all AudioFuse audio interfaces. Visit Aturia.com to find out more on the effects you'll actually use.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with what you're saying. It's a really good point. Another thing as well that's in the report is, you know, women feel they're judged much more harshly for a mistake, whereas men are given the benefit of the doubt. And that can actually have massive impacts on mental health, you know, and things like you said, Lexi, with imposter syndrome. If you feel like every time you make a mistake, it means that you're an imposter, you don't know what you're talking about, whereas it's normal for people to make mistakes, but women seem to be judged a lot more harshly.
Yeah, like if, like for some, like how many times does Pro Tools not, or like a DAW not open for someone, you know? Whereas I think sometimes, like, I think a lot of the times men get like the grace, or they don't assume that they can't fix the issue. Like, oh, can we get like a male engineer in here to fix this up? Like, and so that puts the pressure on women to never mess up or never have things be faulty. But I think every engineer or person working in audio has the experience of, you've set something up, you've run a test, but then for some reason when a client comes around or something happens, like something just doesn't work. You know, for guys, they can roll with it because it's not a gender assumption that, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Whereas women, if that issue happens, there is the thing in the back of your head telling you that, like, oh, now this person definitely thinks I don't know what I'm doing and I'm not the most qualified person to be doing it.
Yeah, and that's so unfair to have to deal with it, along with all the other things that women have to deal with in this industry, I think. And it might sound like a small thing, you know, but it really can be a huge thing, because people trusting you, it can have real impacts and sort of prevent you progressing in your career. Because people assume, oh, well, you know, maybe she doesn't quite know as much as this guy here, and all those things. It can really be devastating for someone's career.
You hear it in language, and you read it in language as well, because we've had a male and a female guest on some podcasts sometimes. And I remember doing one, and it had two engineers, both of the same level. One was male and one was female. Every time the male answered a question, he was certain of the answer. He would say, yeah, this is how you do it, bosh, bosh, bosh. Every time the female answered the question, it was, I'm not sure, but I think this is okay. And it was interesting, and my wife and I have talked about this, and often you read it in emails as well, is that men have this kind of... This kind of hundreds of years of self-confidence behind them, as Lexi was saying, that kind of, and basically part of the reason is men are just better at bullshitting because they've had all this hundreds of years of confidence around them, and women just are far less arrogant about it, and far more, hang on, I might not be right, but I think it's this, where men are going, it's definitely this. Yeah. And you can just hear it in the language. And I tell you, one area that freaks me out, and Lexi, you're in marketing, I don't know if you've noticed it, go to any stock image site and put recording studio in, then break it down to gender. The men pictures are really serious, and the men are on the desks going in. The women, half of them look stupid. They're like smiling into a mic and looking like they've never been in a studio in their life. And it's insidious, this stuff. It's in every part of our lives. It's loaded from every part. And as I say, just do that test after we get off this podcast today and go to a stock image site and put recording studio women, then recording studio men. It's insane to see the difference. It's night and day.
Yeah. There's actually a Facebook, I think they're on Instagram as well, called The Man That Has It All. I believe that's the title. Mm. And what they do is sort of comical. They just flip these gender biases on their head. So they'll put, you know, a woman looking really sort of confident and sort of aggressive, saying, I'm an engineer. And then they'll have like this man sort of looking all cute and adorable with, I'm a male engineer, you know. Mm-hmm. And it sort of just sort of, it shows this kind of bias that we have. And it's so ingrained in our culture that we don't even realize. And a lot of people think it's just a natural thing. And often these things aren't natural at all. And we really need to examine this. You know?
And the bravery of women who are like being a marketer in this industry, the women who are brave enough to be the faces of, you know, marketing campaigns for products. Because like, even worse is when you go to like Instagram or something and you see what people say in the comments about, you know, especially when they have like, you know, women in front of consoles or things like that, like, or even how companies do this all the time in audio, where you see that like women get chopped up. So you basically only see a torso of like, you know, women with guitar. Like, it's really, really common. You can, you know, open up any like pro audio magazine, and I'm sure you're going to find like several of these pictures and the silly ones that you were mentioning, Russ. So when you actually have like artists or, you know, like in your photos, they're not even stock photos. They're actually women who have like the titles and tracks behind them. You know, they're getting, you know, shit on online.
And do you think that's a deliberate thing? Or is this a subconscious thing, Lexi?
Which part?
Just the fact that women are being made to appear like this.
I mean, I think it's like ingrained subconscious. I think sometimes with, you know, this is how they're expected to be seen. You know, the whole like smiling thing. You know, how, like Russ, how often have you been told to smile?
Never. But often told not to smile, aren't you? And when you're with men in the studio, they've got to look all kind of like as I say, very full of testosterone and like serious and doing their stuff. But straight away is like, but you're right about smiling. Is that like for years men have gone to women, why aren't you smiling? It's like, yeah, I don't know. I know what I'd say if I was the woman. But yeah,
and it's not like, even just smiling as well. It's sort of goes into, oh, be nice. You know, you have to be nice and friendly. And I've had studio owners say to me, "Oh, you could be like a big sister to some of the clients." And I don't see why I should have to do that. You're not asking the male engineers to be big brothers. You know, why do I have to have that added pressure of being, you know, smiley and nice and warm and motherly?
Right.
You know, thrust upon me.
I tell you what doesn't help as well is that, and I might be just oversensitive to this, but I think in the pro audio industry in particular, last 2 or 3 years, I've seen the kind of female equivalent of greenwashing, which is that lots of brands have thought, hang on a minute, we can stick women in ads, and it seems it kind of buys us some brownie points as a brand. And I might be awfully cynical about that, but suddenly some brands have put tons of women in their ads, not because, but their stock often images. They're not like real artists. They're not like Sylvia or all those other great mixing people that we've got out there. But they kind of like just put women in ads to make it like, hey, we're leveling the playing field now because we put an advert out with a female in it instead of a man. And it feels slightly cynical to me, and perhaps I'm wrong. But perhaps, I don't know how you read that, but some of the big brands are doing it a lot.
It could be sort of perceived that they're doing the bare minimum to appear like they're doing something at all. But you'd have to sort of dig deeper to see what they're actually doing.
Well, again, I'd like to come, as I say, that my concern, the reason I kind of got really hot on this was about probably 5 or 6 years ago. Lexi, you might have remembered, I wrote an article called The Trouble with Women in Pro Audio. Mm-hmm. And it was a bait and switch art, actually, because I wanted all the Neanderthal men who thought that women didn't belong to come and read it. And I went through all these things, and at the end I said, the trouble with women in pro audio is we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
And then one of the people in the comments said, nice article, Russ, but your entire expert team is male. And that really challenged me. I thought, they're dead right. And then I made a conscious effort not to kind of like do the numbers game, but as I say, whenever I found some really great talent like you, Shia, or Mel, it took me four years to get Mel because she's such a talent. She's an incredible person.
Fantastic.
And I headhunted her out of time and space because she's just so solid. Mm-hmm. And as I say, I've consciously worked to find great women to be part of this organization, because then I think that's how, again, if you can see, you can be it. And the more people we put like you and Lexi and Mel and others into these companies, you can't just say, hey, we're for women, here's an ad with a woman in it. You've actually got to put your money where your mouth is and say, some of my senior people are going to be female because they deserve to be, because they're great at their job. And in fact, I didn't go to NAMM, I sent Mel, because she was better being at NAMM than me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's the added responsibility once you have those women working for you. I think that where we're at now is that you do see more women out there, but what this report kind of links to and talks about is the fact that women are trying, more women are getting into these, you know, different areas, but then in a lot of cases, the industry, the laws are failing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something I see all the time is kind of to your point about just using like greenwashing. I see a lot of companies, you know, have their one woman engineer out on panels all the time or going to industry events and speaking. Mm. And then when things happen in that company or when, you know, something goes wrong, they haven't put any protection into place when they're, you know, sending women off alone to big events or, you know, if something does happen, their response to that is, again, not usually in favor of the woman, but just about protecting their reputations.
Yeah.
So you can't both want, like, women in your industry, like women to be increased, but also not do the work that's also needed to not just get them there, but like help them stay there. And the same with like maternity leave and things like that too.
Yeah.
You know, keep them. Don't just have them do the work that's needed to keep them there.
The Production Expert Podcast is made possible using Source Connect Now from Source Elements, the free way to record high quality audio over the internet. Need to record an interview or a podcast like this one remotely? With Source Connect Now, you can. Using a Chrome browser, you'll get ISDN-equivalent quality audio without the need to install any additional software. Register for your free account at now.source-elements.com.
Continuing on from Lexi's point, so that I didn't only say to Mel, go to NAMM. I didn't want her to be in a hotel that was like, in the back of nowhere, that she'd take hours to get to late at night and stuff, because that's the kind of way NAMM is. So we had to pay extra to put her in a hotel that was right next to the event and transport and stuff like that. So she was safe all the time. And that can sound slightly condescending, but it wasn't. I just wanted to make sure. I was just thinking, if it was my wife or my daughter, this is what I'd do. And that's how people have to start thinking. And about all of these things. And the other thing to talk about is that, like, some women are going to get pregnant and need maternity leave, as you say. But actually, when they've actually had the babies, they've then got a very different lifestyle. And so it has to work around pickups from school. And like, I understand that because I did the school pickups in our house. So you have to you have to build a business recognizing those kind of things are going to happen. You can't expect them to work till six at night because they've got the kids at home who are hungry and need feeding.
Or 3 a.m.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, or 3 a.m.,
That's the thing with studios. It's like sometimes, like if something needs to go out or there's a transmission, like if you're in post, you know, you'll be asked to stay there, you know, upwards 3, 5 a.m. And then maybe get like a taxi home. But yeah, once you have kids, that's just like completely unviable.
Yeah, I mean, just offering more flexible working hours as well. It could be another option. It's you know, obviously as a freelancer, that's something that I can do, but it can be slightly more difficult in certain environments. I understand that. But just having this sort of empathy for what women go through and have to deal with, I think would really, really help.
It is slightly a bit ironic, though, that the government are making some of these recommendations, because if there's any place more than anything that doesn't really take care of women, it's Parliament. A lot of MPs, a lot of women won't go into Parliament because it just doesn't suit women, because of they have their families and all these kind of things. So they have late night sittings or they have to get all sorts of different stuff. So this is throughout the whole of society that we've got to start thinking about this in a way that's far more grown up. And interesting, I wanted to bring to this today as well, that something was said to me a few years ago, that if you stand outside the White House or number 10 Downing Street, there are people there with placards like Stop the War or Give Teachers More Pay and stuff like that. And they're all shouting and they're demonstrating outside, like the gates of the White House or number 10 Downing Street. Inside those buildings, there are people right next to Biden or Sunak whispering in their ear ideas and policy thoughts. Who do you think those people in power listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I've always said that I think that influence is incredibly a powerful thing. So whilst I understand that some people are trying to change things by shouting a lot, sometimes the best way to change is to get yourself in positions of power or close to positions of power, onto panels, into groups, join the MPG, all those kind of places, join the AES, go to places where you can really facilitate change, because often it's not the people with the banners that make the change happen. It's the people who are whispering in ears. And so I understand, listen, I'm middle-aged and white and privileged, so it's really easy for me to say this stuff, but what I will say is that sometimes I don't think people do themselves favours by just turning it into anger all the time and rage. And we talked about this this year, I know we have, because, you know, me and my wife fall out about Greta Thunberg.
Right,
Because I'm not a huge fan, and it's for this reason. I'm misrepresenting her away, but it could be anybody for this point. But like, if you say to everybody, "Stop driving today," most people are going to go, "That's too hard. I won't do it." However, if you say to them, "Drive less," or "Don't drive at the weekends," or "Walk once a day," those are then achievable targets. You know, I'm a massive fan of Atomic Habits, that book I always talk about.
Oh, yeah.
When you give somebody an impossible goal like stop cars today or change everything today, that's too hard for most people to get past. Whereas if you give them smaller goals where we can, and I know it's easy, again, it's easy for me to say because I live on the right side of this fence and people want change fast. Mm. But actually, this is a cultural issue and culture doesn't change fast. Trust me.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, not even just the fact, because I do think that it, you know, that there's two aspects to this. It is unfair that women have to deal with this in the first place, and we do sort of deserve to be treated equally anyway, and we shouldn't really have to wait.
Shouldn't need to even ask about it.
And be happy with sort of, you know, breadcrumbs, as it were, you know, or be happy that you're being given sort of the minimal things. However, I think there are ways that we can get more men on board that do want to do good and do want to help us with change. So there may be things that we can do to maybe, I don't know, I don't want to blame women, but perhaps, Lexi, you could sort of, if you agree with this, and if you don't, then please say, but we can sort of phrase the way we approach these things that it doesn't feel kind of attacky, because I do hear some people sort of really attacking a certain demographic of old men, old white men. You know, you've heard this a lot, Russ, and I don't necessarily blame them, but I just don't think it's particularly productive to sort of move forward with what we need to do. Lexi, feel free to completely disagree with what I'm saying.
I completely see where you're coming from, but to go back to Russ's point about like whispering in the ears of like powerful people, when you look at those rooms and who fills them, like if you look at the C-suite for so many, industry companies, if you look at who are the directors of studios, I think the reason people shout and are so angry is that because there is no way to whisper to those people because there's such significant gatekeeping around them. And when you are a woman or a person of color and there's one other or LGBTQ+, like you are already under the hardships that you'll face because you're not, cis, white, male. And you also just simply don't have access to those ears. So you rely on your allies to hopefully do that for you, and that you hope that you can trust the people that are advocating for you in that way to do it and do it in such a way. But I'll definitely concede that, making people angry, making an enemy out of everyone, calling out anyone and everyone, denies the fact that there's like nuance to all of these issues, and denies the fact that you have to be careful and open. Like I know from my own experience, every company I've worked with and like this industry at large, like having gone to countless NAMs, NABs, IBCs, like I have overwhelmingly had good interactions. Overwhelmingly. I love my coworkers. I love the people that I've had the chance to work with and learn from. That anger doesn't always serve. Put it way more into like finding your allies, finding that support. But I completely understand why people are angry, why people are screaming into this void, because it feels like it's hard to get in touch with the people that can help. And it also feels like isn't what you're going up against enough as it is.
Yeah. And I would agree with that point. We have a lot to go up against. And like you say, Russ, I appreciate that you certainly are doing a lot to help. And a lot of the men that I work with are fantastic as well. But, we
don't
should really...
Don't say me. This should be standard what I'm doing, not some kind of exception.
Well, no, but that's the thing, isn't it? It is an exception. It is often an exception.
No, it shouldn't be. Well, it shouldn't be. And I think this is, again, if you can see it, you can be it. I hope that what I'm doing is as influential to the men in the world as it is to the women. Because in a sense, I can't... All I can do is... I read something the other day about you can't change certain people. I come to the view that you can't change most people. I think all you can do is change yourself. And if I can fix my little part of the world, hopefully that will make some difference. And I completely agree with what Lexi said about the power, the power imbalance, and it's hard to be that whispering person when you've got no power. But I think what I was trying to articulate, perhaps clumsily, is that I just hate all the binary nature of the conversation sometimes, like women good, men bad.
Oh yeah, I hate that too.
Because I'm not going to take on the sins of my forefathers if I had no role in that. I can't fix history, but I can fix the future in my own little way. I recall a situation one day where the experts wrote an article. It was I can't remember what it was. It was like 10 engineers tell you their favorite thing. And a woman who I'd supported greatly in the industry saw it and then posted on Facebook, "This is useless. It's just white middle-class men." And I knew where her anger was coming from, But in a sense, she was being what she was telling everybody else not to be, which was judging people by who they were and their gender. Mm. And I told her that. And I said, I understand your anger, but I don't think that was a smart way to deal with it. And to be fair, I had asked women to be in that article as well. So it's a tough one. And as I say, I'm white and I'm male, and I don't have any problems with all this stuff in terms of having to deal with this shit every day.
It is a tough one, and like Lexi says, there's a lot of nuance that goes into it. But we just have to sort of approach this with empathy and try to sort of articulate our points clearly and try to listen to other people's points of view as well, without sort of getting offended and you know, all the things that a lot of people do, because that's really important and that's the only way we can really progress.
RSPE Audio Solutions design, sell, and install professional audio and video equipment. Their team are available by phone, live chat, or email to receive and process orders. They have everything you need to build or upgrade your home studio to ensure you can continue to work from home. If there is anything they can do to help, reach out or shop online at rspeaudio.com.
I suppose coming back to the banners and whispering, what I was really trying to say is, don't just go on Facebook and social media all day, which is incredibly febrile at the best of times, and just rant. Try and find places where you can make a difference and have influence, or people that you can influence. Like, because Lexi was saying, some of the boards of these companies are just fully male.
Mm.
So there's a power imbalance from the start. But join the AVID ADC, is it AVID? Yeah, I think that's what it's called, the group that AVID have. Find those places.
Well, I will have to give a shout out to then Nadia Khan, who, I don't know if you know her, Lexi, but she's the chief executive of Women in Control. So she's actually worked with the UK government to sort of, with this report, and she has experienced a lot of the things that we've spoken about. I don't need to go into it again, but she's done a lot of really, really great work along with, you know, other women, other men to really help progress and sort of get this in front of the lawmakers as well, because that's what we need. We need, you know, new laws put in place and just, you know, things to help this situation. So, yeah, that is someone that I definitely give a shout out to.
Here's a thought, actually, coming to Lexi's point. Let's be practical about this. Why don't we name some women that we know who are doing great things to change this?
Yeah.
Who other women could start befriending and getting alongside? So, for example, Olga Fitzroy over at AIR. She's done enormous work. She's an incredible engineer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's worked with... She's a local Labour councillor in this country. She's done tons of work about... women and maternity leave, and she's done a lot of work with the government. She's amazing, and she's a real role model for women in this industry. So there's one. I think Olga is somebody that we can say, hey, she's somebody that you should look up to and follow in her steps for the work that she's been doing.
Yeah.
And who was yours again?
Mine again, yeah. So Nadia Khan, who is she's an artist manager, and she's also the chief executive of Women in Control, and she's done absolutely loads to work with government on this particular issue. Lexi, do you have anyone in mind?
I do. I think mine will always be Terry Winston. I know it's more US based.
Terry's amazing.
But Terry is absolutely amazing. She runs and started the Women's Audio Mission. It's based out of San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
What they do is, for me, I think, so important, because it starts at every level in terms of empowering young women, all the way up and through getting them jobs, internships. It's, you know, gives women space. Like, if you ever have a chance to go to like a WhamCon or anything like that, it can be one of the most transformative things that you can be a part of. And I just think that she's amazing, and the work that Wham does in general is amazing.
Mm.
Me and Terry did a podcast about this before. I've just found the podcast. It's podcast 280. I've put it in the notes this year. If we can get
perfect.
It in the notes this week as well. And people can listen to Terry. And Terry's just awesome. And of course, then we've got people like Sylvia Massey.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose this is what I'm talking about. You have to find those role models that you can get alongside and work with. And because they're going to have to pass this baton on at some point, some of these women, and that's always the case, is so just be around, just not only look at them, but just message them and say, how can I be a help in this fight? Incredible. I know that Terry will take all the help she can get. She's done an incredible job. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So that's a good sort of high to kind of wrap this podcast up, unless Lexi, you have anything else you'd like to add before we go to Find of the Week?
No, I think this has been a really great conversation. Yeah. And I'm glad we're having it.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. So Lexi, what is your Find of the Week?
Oh, my Find of the Week is definitely going to be Poor Things. I saw it recently in theaters and was just blown away. I was already a big fan off the back of The Lobster, but this movie's so funny and so excellent. I hope everyone goes to see it.
It stars Emma Stone. And who was the guy that was very funny you were mentioning?
Mark Ruffalo.
Yes. Brilliant. I've heard good things about it, so I definitely want to see it. Russ, you wanted to see it as well, right?
I love Emma Stone. I love Mark Ruffalo. Do you know what I mean? I love Willem Dafoe, who Tim and what's not to like.
Yeah. No, that sounds really
movie.
Cool.
Yeah.
Russ, what's your Find of the Week?
Mine is that Billy Joel has a new single out. I can't remember when the last one was, but it's Decades. And I heard it, actually, I was in the gym on Saturday, and I heard it while I was training, because like Apple do like new songs this week kind of thing. And I thought, is this new? Is it old? And the great thing about it is it's just Billy Joel. It just sounds so Billy Joel. I think the Americans call him Billy Joel, do they, Lexi?
I don't want to speak for all of America.
You do things properly, Lexi.
You probably say words properly, like aluminium and stuff like that.
Not quite.
Yeah. Sorry, Lexi, is it caramel or caramel?
I say caramel.
Caramel, okay.
The worst one is soldering. They call it soldering, which is just a rude word in the first place. It's not even spelled soldering. So just anyway, we could start an entire war just talking about how Americans pronounce words. But Billy Joel's new single, brilliant. I think he sang it at the Grammys last night as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, my Find of the Week is something that's quite practical, and I'm sure a lot of us who are self-employed have been going crazy and pulling our hair out over it, is a QuickBooks app, which is, if you don't know it, it's a well-known accounting software. And so what I like about the app is it actually tracks your mileage automatically. So every time you make a journey, you can just say, track this journey, and it will have your mileage down. It will calculate everything. You can take pictures of receipts, and it will calculate all of the expenses for you, manage your invoices and forward receipts as well. So I'm just keeping everything super organized now. And I really love this app. So that's all I have to say about that.
Fab. Accountancy, if you can make that sexy, then you've won. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Well, that's all we have time for this week. But thank you so much to Russ. And thank you, Lexi, for a wonderful chat. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Production Expert Podcast.